will now call the meeting to order for Tuesday, October the 6th. It's 9:33 that we'll call the meeting. Moved by Councillor, okay, call him, open first of all. I'm getting way ahead of myself here. Councillor Downey, would you please do the prayer in O Canada, please?
Help us to stay, O God, to run with patience the race that is set before us. May neither opposition without nor discouragement within divert us from our goal. Inspire in us both strength of mien and steadfastness of purpose that we may meet all fears and difficulties with unswerving courage and may fulfill the quiet fidelity that tasks committed to our charge through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Welcome back, Carrie. We sure missed you last council meeting. Good day. Yes. Summary of addendum of items. I think we have here. We have two added, a summary addendum items added to closed session. Confidential verbal report from Chris Barnett, partner DLA Piper. Advice on the subject solicitor privilege, client privilege and litigation, legal advice regarding provincial facilitation. Also, we have the confidential verbal report by Judy Porter, Director of Human Services, personal matters regarding identifiable individual, interim chief administrative officer. Okay, with all of that, we'll move for the approval of the agenda. Moved by Councillor Befford, second by Councillor Mizzapelli, that the agenda on the October 6, 2015 council meeting be approved as amended. All in favor? All in favor? All in favor? Thank you. That was professional, wasn't it? Okay, just so you know, before we go into closed session, I have to leave my tennis to head to Toronto for the GTA Mayors and Chairs Summit. We have a number of issues that we need to get Caledon on the table with. So Fu Wing Wong will be down there. Doug, are you?
Yes, just me.
Just Fu Wing and myself will be there. But I will report back to everybody what takes place when we get there, okay? So Joanna Downey, the acting mayor, will take my place, so Bill, you won't be dealing with a glare today, which is good. And we'll move by Councillor McClure, second by Councillor Befford, that council shall go into closed session under Section 239 of the Municipal Act for the purpose of the confidential report, DP 2015-0085, regarding the advice and the subject solicitor client privilege, including communication necessary for the purpose of litigation, including matters before the administrative tribunals affecting the municipalities. Appeals opinions in respect to the Committee of Adjustment decision, number A021-15-15566, McLaughlin Road, Inglewood. Confidential verbal report from Chris Barnett, DLA Piper, advice to the subject solicitor client privilege on litigation and legal advice regarding provincial facilitation. And confidential verbal report by Judy Porter of Human Services, personal matters regarding identifiable individual, interim chief administrative officer. Okay, all in favor? Carried. We're now going to look.
have to read them each. We do have to read each of them. Okay, good morning. We'll call the meeting back in order. Now she's leaving. So first item moved or brought out of camera. Do you need to read them out? Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Mazzapelli, that confidential verbal report from Judy Porter, Director of Human Resources, regarding personal matters regarding an identifiable individual, interim chief administrating officer, be received, and that a special council meeting be scheduled for October 26, 2015, starting at 9 a.m., and that staff proceed as directed. All in favor? Carried. Second item, moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor McClure, that confidential verbal report from Chris Barnett, partner DLA Piper, regarding advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege and litigation, legal advice regarding provincial facilitation be received, that staff proceed as directed. All in favor? Carry. Are you counting hands? Because I'm not. Third item, moved by Councillor Beffert, seconded by Councillor McClure, that the confidential report DP 2015-085 regarding advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege, including communications necessary for that purpose, litigation, including matters before the administrative tribunals affecting the municipality, appeal options in respect of Committee of Adjustments Decision Number A021-15-15666, McLaughlin Road, Inglewood, 115984-1 Ontario, Inc., PL150522 be received, and that town staff be directed to proceed with option 1B as outlined in the confidential report DP 2015-085 and in accordance with the usual course of an Ontario Municipal Board hearing. All in favor? Carried. Thank you. And we'll go straight. Did we get all hands? Is Benth Camarilli Re Tower Garden in the gallery? Yeah, so we'll carry on without her and we'll go to the second item, which is Daryl Bailey, Deputy Fire Chief, Mark Wallace, Deputy Fire Chief, and Bethany Lee, Manager of Communications.
Sorry. That's okay. I know. Through you, Acting Mayor, I'm going to do a very brief introduction on the Community Emergency Response Plan, and I'm not actually going to get into the plan at all. I'm going to leave that to the staff that are here to actually present it. But what I would like to say is when we hired Chief Forfar, this was the number one item I gave him as business, that we needed to update our Community Emergency Response Plan, and he has followed through on that. More importantly, he has made the Community Emergency Response Plan a corporate plan, not a fire and emergency services plan, which is what it was before. He's brought it in so that it involves all the departments, and as a result, I think we actually have a great plan going forward. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to staff.
Good morning, Acting Mayor Downey and members of council. I just got to forward this way. Hey, I'm going to speak quickly about the Community Emergency Management Coordinator, which is known as the CEMC. This is a legislated requirement under the Regulation 38004 to designate an employee of the municipality to be the CEMC. It is also required to take the training from the to comply with the Civil Emergency Management Ontario, and it is also a requirement under legislation to implement the emergency management plan and program for the municipality. The CEM is accountable for overseeing the municipality's emergency management program, achieving compliance with emergency management and civil protection annual requirements, serving as the Emergency Management Ontario's primary contact during and impeding emergencies. They are also in total contact with the Emergency Management Ontario. Every day they get updates of anything going on around the province that may involve our municipality or any other municipality, so that they're well aware of what's happening throughout the province. The CEMC must obtain training through basic management course, creates awareness and fundamental principles of emergency management. The CEM training course also explains Ontario's municipal program, provides direction and guidance on the program implementation. Coordination of the program is an integral element of the legislation and the emergency management program through exercises and training. They also facilitate with the emergency management sector meetings and workshops, so they're aware of all emergencies and trained on emergencies that could develop and become involved in our municipality. They share information of the hazard identification and risk assessments and emergency response plans. They develop and implement community emergency management, public education programs, expertise in the support of the community control group, maintain the emergency response plan, and liaison with the emergency management field officer at all times to ensure the program maintains its legislative requirements. It also monitors the level of mandated emergency program for the municipality. The CEMC, as you heard earlier, is Chief Forfar. He is a designated CEMC for the town of Caledon, and there are alternates. It's myself, Deputy Chief Daryl Bailey, Bethany Lee, the communications manager, and also we have one more alternative is Jillian Boyd, our public educator with the fire service. She also is the administrator of the program or the plan. She keeps us out of trouble and keeps it updated so that we're within compliance and ensures that everything is forwarded on to the province as far as updates or any changes into the CEMCs. I mentioned the emergency control group. The emergency control group is a specific group when the EOC comes together. Emergency Operations Center. Sorry for the acronyms. I hate acronyms myself, so I got to be aware that I'm saying acronyms. Sorry. Initial response to any emergency is usually performed by the municipal emergency response agencies like fire, police, emergency medical services, or public works department. When a situation escalates beyond routine response, the responsibility for managing and coordinating the response falls on a municipal emergency response group. The emergency response group coordinates the emergency response through communication and directing of required resources. The role of the team is to minimize the impact of the emergency through safeguards of life safety, property, environment. Standing members of the emergency control group are pre-identified staff of the town of Caledon and consist of the ECG, which is the emergency control group manager, the CEMC, and the section chiefs. However, during a response to the large-scale emergency, the emergency control group and at the discretion of the CEMC may also include additional resources pre-identified by the team members and the emergency plan. If so required, the direction of the CEMC and the emergency control group support team may request to provide support from such things as the OPP, Region Appeal Medical Services, Region Appeal CEMC, if it escalates and we need to some assistance from Region Appeal, we would contact the CEMC of the Region Appeal, which would provide us assistance or any support. And also any representatives of any applicable utilities, whether it's gas, hydro, or any utilities we feel fit for the emergency. And the emergency control group, when they're called together, would meet in the EOC, and they would organize all the emergency response resources and everything from the EOC. So with that, I'll turn it over to, I believe it's Deputy Bailey.
Good morning, Acting Mayor and members of Council. I'm here to talk about what is a hazard identification and risk assessment. This is also commonly referred to as a HIAR. It's the meat and potatoes of the community emergency response plan with ensuring we're prepared. So we need to first understand that our biggest challenge as emergency managers is how to prevent, prepare, mitigate, respond, and recover from numerous types of hazards. When we start the process of doing the hire, we need to ask ourselves four questions. What hazards exist? How frequently do they occur? How severe can their impact be on our community, infrastructure, property, and the environment? Additionally, which hazards pose the greatest threat to our community? So how is a hire determined? The hire is an assessment tool used to assess which hazards pose the greatest risk in terms of how likely they are to occur, how great their potential impact will be. And it's very important to note that this hire is not intended to be used as a prediction tool to determine which hazard will cause the next emergency. So having conducted the exercise, the top three risks to our community are a hazardous material incident on the transportation side of hazardous materials within the community, and that could be either rail or road. The second is an ice storm, and the third is a tornado slash high wind event. These are the most likely events to occur. However, the Community Emergency Response Plans ensures that the Town of Caledon is prepared. That's the key word. We are prepared to deal with all types of events, and we are very confident in this plan. The hire is a living document that is required to be monitored and reviewed and modified as we find new risks within our community, new events occur, or new businesses come to our community. We need to modify that plan to be reflective of what's happening out there in the real world. So the plan and the incident management system. This is consistent with internationally recommended practices. The incident management system provides standardized organizational structures, functions, process, and terminology used for all levels during an incident. The IMS is an integrated emergency response structure. It allows us to communicate using consistent language between not only ourselves, but the province, the region appeal, and as well as many corporations are adapting the IMS system as well. IMS addresses the need for a coordinated response to all types of incidents. And now I'll turn it over.
Just move that down a little bit. Good morning, Acting Mayor and members of Council. I'm Bethany Lee. I'm one of your alternate CEMCs, and I'd like to quickly take you through the binder that sits in front of you. If you don't have one, you've already received one from me in the past few weeks. Your binder is the Community Emergency Response Plan. The front section is a public document, and that ensures that the town is aware and that we are aware as staff and as council that we are prepared to manage emergencies. I encourage you, obviously, to read and review this and to become familiar with the roles and responsibilities. The second section of the binder that's in front of you is a confidential document. Those are the appendices. The reason it's confidential is because it does contain information of staff, home addresses, phone numbers, and contact information. I'd just like to quickly take you through a little bit about the structure and how we're prepared and have been practicing this plan. I've also printed out for you in a little bit larger format the charts. So if you can take a look at the first one that has Town of Caledon Community Emergency Response Plan. It does not have the red flash at the top. Okay, so this is your emergency control group structure. You'll notice along the side the locations that we would be doing business during an emergency. The emergency control group that Daryl just spoke about. And if we go across that chart, we'll see the operations, planning, logistics, and finance and administration. This is the way that we organize ourselves in an emergency as staff. It's important to note that this would be different than perhaps our regular day-to-day roles. So we've been trained in these roles, we've been practicing them, and we'll continue to practice them. This is the IMS structure. So in the past, we organized according to departmental roles, but that's a little bit different during an emergency. So that's what you see in that second section there. As the chiefs mentioned, we would also call upon other staff for support. So you'll see that in the support section. So how will we know that there's an emergency? That's, of course, what everybody wants to know. How will I be informed? On pages 10 and 11 of your binder at the very front, you will see that there are different ways that we will be notified. So as Deputy Chief Wallace mentioned, we would be working with Public Health, the OPP, the Region of Peel. We receive information from the province on a daily basis about potential hazards and risks. As members of council, you'll also be, of course, interested in your role and concerned about what you would be doing during an emergency. I'd just like to read from page 10, a short section that describes that. Upon being notified of a potential emergency and after consultation with the Emergency Control Group Manager, or CAO, and the CEMC, the mayor may declare a state of emergency. And so that would be part of the role, would be being informed, informing your fellow council members, and making that official declaration. So we've talked a little bit about the operations center and the roles, and those roles in the back, they are outlined in great detail in the appendices. So each appendice is for a section chief in the emergency operations center. And Doug and I had a good discussion last week, and we sort of define these as micro plans. So it's interesting to take a look at them, but they are very detailed. They're essentially act as checklists. So if you arrive at the emergency operations center, that can be somewhat of a chaotic time, a very busy time. So these checklists will guide staff through every step that they must take in order to fully support the emergency in the town. To flip over your large chart, this is the emergency response flow. So you'll notice on the left-hand side, there are three areas of responsibility. The on-site command team, so one of our CEMCs, potentially Deputy Chief Bailey in his role as in operations, would be on-site managing the emergency there. He would be in communication with our emergency control group, the second section. That's the section that's working either here or at an alternate location. The third group is you as council supporting these activities. During the last 6 months when we've undertaken this plan, it's important to note that staff have committed to their roles and have been trained, and we have done a tabletop exercise, and we will continue to exercise the plan. You'll notice that this is version one. We expect that it will change over time with, as Daryl mentioned, some changes in hazardous risks, some changes in business, and changes in staff. Some of the next steps that I wanted to outline, you'll see that it's Fire Prevention Week. You'll see that we're constantly reminding the community to stay prepared. You'll notice on the presentation that we have caledon.ca/prepare. That is where we have published the front end, the non-confidential part of the plan. We'll be discussing that with the community and letting them know that that's happening. Another important piece that's happening right now is staff is undertaking a business continuity planning session, and they're speaking with all sections of the town to find out if we were in an emergency, if that was prolonged, how would we get back to regular business? What are the most important pieces of business that must continue? What are the ones that could perhaps wait a day or two? In 2016, there is a budget request for crisis communications plan coming forward. As we know from this ice storm, communications very key. Sharing information, different ways to share information and keep the community informed. Over time, we will develop our plan, deepen our partnerships, and review and remain accountable for the plan. Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation, Bethany, and to the chief or deputy chiefs as well. Thank you for the presentation. I have one speaker on the board.
Thank you, Acting Mayor Downey. Through you to council, the development of this particular emergency response plan actually has taken quite a bit of time. We've done two actual dry runs to make sure we all know what the roles are. It actually, when you go through it, it likens to me whenever you hear something about the detailed kind of format that people use when they send somebody up into space. All the things that you have to do to try and ensure it works, it operates, and you bring them back safely. And all of that is what the same intention is here in terms of the plan. It's when we look at it, we think, well, is it overdone? And then you have to come back to something like the mall collapse in Elliott Lake. Things like that just happen. And are we prepared to deal with that situation? Can we bring in the outside contractors that we need? Do we have the supplies on staff? Do we have the right people in place to order things? All of that is taken care of in terms of the plan. The other thing that actually comes out of something like Elliott Lake is not just your ability to deal with protection of people, property, and the environment, but you also have to think about what happens after that. And there's insurance claims. There's risks to the corporation, risks to every one of us as individuals in the corporation. And that documentation that you see in the appendices actually provides us the best protection on all risks against the corporation. So there's a lot of detail in there, but it's a lot of essential detail. So I'd like to actually thank the chief, the fire department, and all of our senior management for their participation in developing the plan. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Acting Mayor Downey. I just, too, wanted to thank the fire services and all staff that put this together. This is an extremely important document that you hope you never have to use, but it's one of those things that you want to make sure that you're prepared for. And as Mr. Barnes mentioned, you do have to prepare for the worst, and because you have to have a plan that manages that. And again, you hope that never amounts to anything, but that we are prepared. The question I have is, in this document, does it stipulate how often the plan is reviewed and updated, and as well as doing tabletop exercises, as was mentioned, just to make sure that we're fresh?
Part of the requirement under the Emergency Management Act is a yearly review. There's a committee that's formed that will review it on a regular basis. We're currently working with some partners in Peel Region to conduct an exercise early next year in 2016.
Perfect. Thank you very much, and thanks again for everyone.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Acting Mayor Downey. Through you, I would also like to thank the Chief and all of our senior management staff for this plan. I don't want to repeat what was said, but I agree with both Councillor Mazzapelli and the CAO that this is a necessity because it is about public safety. And I believe Councillor Sato from Mississauga had an issue in her ward recently with a train and had a whole bunch of things that was on the train that spilled and that. So you just never know. We do have two railway crossings here, actually three. We have it in three locations, the Albion, Vaughan, Coleraine, and King. So I think this is something that we definitely need because I'm sure Councillor Sato had no idea this was going to happen. And this is why they're called accidents. So, and I'm sure they were prepared as well. So thank you again for this. And my question, the mayor declares a state of emergency. Is the mayor fully trained in handling these types of, has he received training?
Yeah, part of our next steps is to train the mayor on his roles and responsibilities in the very near future, and as well as we understand that at some point over the next 2 years you will all serve as acting mayor, so we'll have to review that, put a training program together, and address it. Probably this fall we're going to look at doing that.
Okay, that's great because I think that is important because that. The mayor declares that state of emergency and needs to know what to do. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Beffert.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, this is so needed, and we all went through the ice storm and realized, you know, exactly how we have to work together. My question would be, it follows up on the mayor, what is our role as councillors. There are situations where we believe we need to be involved, but not as a nuisance. And the most recent one, Daryl, as you know, was the devastating loss of a house on Heart Lake Road. And your request to have me involved was great. And there are things that councillors can do in terms of knowing people in the community and supporting, you know, from a distance, what can be done to help the residents and help with some of the logistics. So I guess my question is, will we be trained and have an opportunity to talk about our role?
Yes, we will be moving forward with that training. And part of your role as council would be that you would report to council chambers, and that there would be a liaison between the emergency control group and yourselves. The council would be a critical function of getting us information, and as well as also releasing the information that's approved by the corporation as well to close that loophole. But in short, yes, a training program for council is something we're going to look at in the very near future. And this was also addressed through the region appeal as well.
Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. This is very interesting, and as I go through it, you end up getting more questions than I was involved in, I guess, to a certain extent with the residents when we had Caledon Propane. And the residents were evacuated not knowing what's going on, and I tried to assist what I could with bringing some communication to them. And that was one of the gaps, was getting the information to the people that were affected and getting information to them. So I see how this is, when you lay it all out, it seems like you're probably going to be able to close that loop quite easily.
Right.
And I think that's probably our role, is to try and communicate the information and then stay out of the way from the people that have to do the job. Just as a process question, how did you select... the main location is this building for the center, emergency center, response center, I think is what you call it. But how did you select the Mayfield West, the fire hall in Mayfield West? Is Caledon Village, if you're servicing Caledon and it's a Caledon emergency, would the Caledon Village fire hall not have been a more proper location?
Yeah, so EOC has requirements to be able to function as EOC. There's several requirements, and those requirements were met by the basement of Town Hall. And as well as if there was an emergency that was in the Caledon East area, then we wouldn't want our EOC only half a kilometer away from our main EOC. That's why an alternate location was chosen. And we are currently putting the infrastructure into that building to be able to serve as a fully functional EOC with a review next year on where our new EOC would be. We're going to do a review whether is it best suited for Town Hall, or are we best to look in another location, and that'll be a review early next year as well.
Because when you think of this area, and if you had something here, then your natural next closest location would actually be the fire hall in Caledon Village, or outside of Caledon Village. So that was just a curiosity thing more than anything else.
Well, the building up in Caledon Village wouldn't be suited to serve as an EOC. It's currently not big enough for that. Where we had done a major renovation down at our Valleywood fire station with a very large room, so all it was a matter of was putting the infrastructure in to be able to serve as an effective EOC.
Okay. Well, when we talk about, and I believe in the budget last year, we had put some money aside for the fire services to do an assessment on renovating Palgrave and Mona Mills. Is there any intent to put some of the infrastructure in place in those locations to maybe end up with an EOC in different locations depending on where the incident is?
So if I could answer that, Councillor DeBoer, I don't think we've gotten to that stage about using all of the fire halls. The advantage we had with the Mayfield Fire Hall is the fact that we have actually run fiber to it. It is our backup communication center for all of our technology, including phones and computer systems. So it's the appropriate place right now to move in terms of communications. I would believe if we wanted to talk about Palgrave and Mono Mills, Palgrave, certainly with the equestrian park, we've run fiber up Highway 50, so that's possible. Mono Mills might also be, if fiber is available from Orangeville, I'm not sure if it is or not yet, but that would be a very important consideration to have ongoing communications.
So the hinge here is having the electronic connection and the technology to be able to operate it.
That's correct.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Seeing no speakers on the board, thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.
And we'll carry on to regular business. You can turn to RB1. Moved by Councillor Mazzapelli, seconded by Councillor DeBoer, that report ADM 2015-057 regarding budget meeting dates be received, and that the 2015 Council meeting schedule be amended to reflect the revised dates as outlined in the report ADM 2015-057, and that the regular Council meeting be scheduled for October 20th, 2015, be changed to start at 9:30 a.m. All in favor? Carried. Can I ask for that? Is this in Ward 1? Can we get a mover and seconder? RB2, that the report DP, moved by Councillor Innes, seconded by Councillor DeBoer, that report DP 2015-076 regarding the renaming of Ella Street be received, and that the bylaw be enacted to rename Ella Street as Ella Court, and that a bylaw be enacted to amend the traffic bylaw. All in favor? RB3, moved by Councillor Befford, seconded by Councillor DeBoer, that report DP 2015-077 regarding alteration requests for designated property at 18388 Heartlake Road be received, and that Council consent to the proposed alteration of the designation and heritage property at 18388 Heartlake Road, as shown on Schedule B of DP 2015-077, with the conditions that any exterior wall-mounted equipment be located on the garage and that the necessary building permit be obtained. We've got Councillor Mazzapelli on the board.
Thank you, Acting Mayor Downey. I just wanted to make an observation, as this is a really, really good example of, on the one hand, you have heritage, and on the other hand, you have cutting-edge technology, very current and new and up-to-date, and they compare and be complementary to each other. So this is a really good report to see that there's been a designated property that has actually incorporated some very modern new technology in a way that works for both parties. So I am glad to see this. This is a good news item, and I want to thank staff and the applicant for bringing this forward.
Thank you, Councillor Mazzapelli. All in favor? Carried. Any opposed? Okay. We need to recount that vote. All in favor? Okay. Thank you. RB4, moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Beffert, that report DP 2015-082 regarding the Conservation Authorities Act review be received, and that Council endorse the recommendations outlined in report DP 2015-082, and that report DP 2015-082 be forwarded to the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry as the Town's comments on the Conservation Authorities Act review, and that a copy of this report be forwarded to the Region Peel, Credit Valley Conservation, Lake Simcoe Region Conservation Authority, Nottawasaga Valley Conservation Authority, Toronto and Region Conservation Authority, Niagara Escarpment Commission, City of Mississauga, and City of Brampton for information. I've got two speakers on the board. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I think that these are the comments that staff have captured here, I think, are the ones that we've heard with regards to the review. I think one of the things that can't get lost in this, though, is the funding mechanism. I think we're asking for, and our community is asking for, more local representation, especially for the agricultural community. But the funding mechanism and the benefits to it do largely lay with, for example, the City of Toronto and the larger municipalities, Brampton, Mississauga, and the urban areas have the benefit to a lot of, I think, what we bring as landowners, rural landowners, environmental protection. So the funding mechanism where it's funded through property taxes, through the urban areas, through water rates in some cases, shouldn't change other than the province taking a larger role, and I think that's what's captured in G. But I would hope that that, and I don't think there's anything here that suggests that the rest of the funding should come from any other place other than the way it's currently done. But I think there's a lot of good points here, and I think it's something good to drive along.
Councillor Innes.
Thank you, Acting Mayor Downey. I do have some questions, more of something that I would like to see that I have brought up with the Region of Peel. I'm hoping that it is in the report that's coming to that council. In regards to the Conservation Authority's responsibility in issuing fill permits and outlining mapping for top of banks, et cetera, I feel that we need to be making it easier for our residents, one-stop shopping. I sit on the TRCA, and in my short time there, I have had detailed, in-camera, lengthy sessions with regards to fill permitting. And the more and more that it comes to me, the more and more I see why couldn't we do it here at the municipality? I know currently we don't have the resources, but you charge for those resources, and I'm sure that we could actually get by on charging less than what the conservation authorities charge our residents, and provide that one-stop shopping for the residents when they come in here. I think it's unnecessary that that they have to come to us as well as the TRCA. So that's something that I would like to actually see changed, and perhaps Ms. Hall would like to comment on that. And I noticed in the recommendation 2 on page 7, the CA is shifting to a policy development role with municipalities being charged with all resulting development review. If you could comment on that, because I think that in part is where I'm going with this, is that that's something that I would not like to see. I think that we need to maintain control of the development process here. And if it's a matter of resources, then that's something that we could be looking at through a fee structure.
Thank you, Acting Mayor Downey. Sorry, your name's not up there. I had to think for a minute. To Councillor Innes. In regards to the Conservation Authority's review of development permits, they are only reviewing it on the matters that they are under their legislation to do. So the fee that they charge for that, which they are allowed to charge, which does come under the Act, is how they would do that. In regards to the fill permit and the top of bank staking, I have not had an opportunity to talk to the conservation authorities. Right now they are the subject matter experts in regards to that. We do not have the staff on site to do that. But I'm not sure if, through my review of the information last night, if we actually could take over that responsibility or not. Because it looks like when you look at the Act, it seems as though that would fall under the Conservation Authority's mandate, not ours. So I would have to look into that further.
Okay. But in reviewing the Act, I think that these are questions that we should be posing to the province. Mm-hmm. They are asking us for suggestions on how to make it easier for our residents and businesses, as well as to protect the stormwater management, which is supposed to be their key priority. So I think that that's something that we should be asking them to review as part of this. Thank you. Seeing no further speakers on the board, can I I'll call the vote. All in favor? Any opposed? Carries. Okay, moving to RB5. Moved by Councillor Mazzapelli, second by Councillor Groves. That report PREC-2015-016 regarding funding for inclusion programs, approval to the use the accessibility reserve fund be received, and that Parks and Recreation request for funding to an upset limit of $4,500 for the town's summer camps and inclusion programs for the purchase of equipment and supplies be approved, and that these funds be allocated to Parks and Recreation from the accessibility reserve fund. I have a speaker on the board. Councillor DeBoer.
Just a question. This would be to make the camps more accessible next year, or replace equipment that was used this year?
Through you, Acting Mayor Downey. It's a little bit of both, Councillor DeBoer. We need to buy some additional equipment, sensory toys and musical instruments and those sorts of things, and we'd like to have a reserve so that we can continue to have the equipment in good order, and it is through that then we would be able to offer more programming too.
So do we offer the programs in partnership with any other groups?
I would let Elizabeth O'Keefe answer that. My knowledge is that we are in partnership with Brampton Caledon Community Living to provide some of these programs. Elizabeth, is there anything else? That's, there you go. I knew that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. All in favor? Any opposed? This one's long. Moved by Councillor Mesapelli, seconded by Councillor Groves, that report PW 2015-074 regarding the 2015 roads program update, the single source contract awards be received, and that the revised cost of reconstruction of Bel Air Drive and New Love Drive of $651,271, inclusive of non-recoverable HST, be approved, and that the budget shortfall of $237,568.62 be funded by a transfer from Capital Project 15-096-2015 Road Program and Rehabilitation, and that the reconstruction of Bel Air Drive and New Love Drive be awarded to Grambrose Construction Limited in the amount of $577,335.11, inclusive of non-recoverable HST, as a single source award, and that a single source award to Grambrose Construction Limited be approved for the repairs and additional work related to the request for tender 2015-52 resurfacing of various roads for $787,238.03 and funded from the deferral of roads in Capital Project 15-128 Enhanced Roads Program as outlined in Table 1 of Report PW 2015-074, and that a single source award to Grambrose Construction Limited be approved for repairs and additional work related to the request for tender 2015-52 resurfacing of various roads for $541,909.94 and be funded by Capital Project 15-096 Roads Program and Rehabilitation from the deferral of roads as per Table 1 of Report PW 2015-074, and that the Director of Public Works and Manager of Purchasing be authorized to sign a single source contract for the reconstruction of Bel Air and New Love Drive, and that the Mayor and Clerk be authorized to sign an amended agreement for request for tender 2015-52 resurfacing of various roads with Grand Brother Construction Limited. I have Councillor Bufford on the board.
Yes, thank you very much. And to David, first of all, I have to commend you. I think we've got a real issue in the town of Caledon with respect to the number of roads, length of kilometers that we have to do. But I'm a bit concerned. In Caledon Village, for example, as you know, David, we've had a lot of questions about what's happening. We get signs going up saying the road's going to be paved, and then the signs come down, and then they go back up again, and then the roads don't get paid. And in addition to that, I just need some clarification. I think what I see you trying to do is make sure that when we do it right. And that's a good thing. But we, 2 years ago, agreed to borrow $4.1 million a year for 3 years to address some of the issues that were prior to you arriving here. So I guess want to make sure that we're on track and that we've got a goal of doing the best we can with the money we've got. So that's the question, if you can respond to that.
Through you, Acting Mayor. Councillor Bufford, you pretty well summarized it correctly. So what we're trying to do, and unfortunately this report has to come forward, what we're trying to do is do the roads once and do them properly and not have to go back in the next 5 years to do some repairs. We thought we'd cross that bridge earlier this year. We are now crossing the bridge now where we're having to make some modifications to construct or reconstruct our roads properly, and therefore we're coming forward with a number of changes. The issue of signs going up and signs coming down, we've addressed that significantly this year with our contractor. We didn't have the detailed schedules last year from the contractor. They sort of chose when they would do the roads. That's changed this year, so we're doing the scheduling. We let them know when they can and can't do it, and we hold them accountable to that schedule. So it's been a journey for the last 18 months. This is part of that journey. And hopefully as we move forward, first of all, we're spending the money. And as you go forward, hopefully our road program will smooth out considerably.
And I appreciate that. I guess that leads to the question of if we are doing it right the first time, my guess would be that we can't do as much. Because it takes more money to resurface a road or redo a road properly than it does just to give it a Band-Aid approach. So where are we going to go budget-wise to try and do the job that we have to do, because there are a lot of roads left that continue to need to be done?
Through you, Acting Mayor, Councillor Befford, that's correct. And I think what we've done in the past is we've resurfaced roads without doing the repairs, all of the repairs required underneath to give us a good solid base. We've stopped doing that as of 2015, and you're correct. That means we will be doing less roads as we move forward. But having said that, as a period of time, as time goes on, we will also have to go back to redo those roads on a longer life cycle. So for the next 5 years, it will be a little rough, but we will get caught up, and then we will be into a longer life cycle repair. And you'll see as we come forward this year in the 2016 budget, we've addressed a number of the concerns that have been brought to us this year about the small roads, for example, the one that you pointed out in Callan Village. We're also bringing forward a very specific preventive maintenance program starting in 2016, which hopefully will help us get ahead of the ball. So doing the roads properly, doing preventive maintenance, addressing some of the smaller roads in a more coordinated manner, I think we're going to get ahead of the game and fairly quickly.
Well, I appreciate that, and I guess you understand that why this is so important is that when people go outside their front door or when they go shopping, it's the roads that they really concentrate on. So I'm wondering if there's going to be some kind of a communication plan, maybe before or during or after budget, to let our community know that we are actually working on this and we're doing it better. But you have to work with us, because that is a topic of conversation, certainly in the rural areas of Caledon.
And through you, Acting Mayor, that's a great idea, Councillor. I think it's something that we could provide to all the councillors to get out in your newsletters. I think a communication program after the 16 budget's approved would be a great idea. And sorry, I forgot the last part of that. I apologize. So.
Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. Communication piece after the 16 budget is fine, but I think there's a lot of people that live on a number of these roads that thought that they were going to have something done this year, because it's not like these roads, and I can talk about the one in the Cedar Lanes Drive that we talked about before and the residents had phoned me about, and I imagine it's the same when you go across the rest of them, that people were expecting to have some work done on their roads this year. So there might need to be some sort of a communication or something done this year explaining what we've gotten into, and that there's a new, that we're working on a new program. The comment of spending the money, I would hope that we're investing the money in the roads and doing a longer term job if we're looking at something that's going to take us 10 years down the road, as opposed to having to come back to these roads in 5 years' time, as an example. Now the question is based around, I guess, how we do it and how we're building the roads. We used to, I think, and I watched a few roads when they got totally pulverized. They went in, they pulverized the roads, basically took the top course, mixed it with the base, and then they ended up running, there's usually a tanker truck associated with it, and they were putting a product in and binding all that stuff together. Is that something that's not done anymore? Because I haven't seen it done this year.
Through you, Acting Mayor Downey, Councillor DeBoer. So we are still pulverizing the roads as part of our program. It's not as large a program as it is. The biggest issue that we've had in the last little while is the fact that we continue to pave over roads that have a road base that's not as solid as it should be. And so if you go and you pulverize a road and there's a section that's 6x8 that has problems with the road base, and you just pave over top of it, you're just putting a Band-Aid over a sore, and what happens is within a year, the road doesn't look very good. And so the biggest issue is the programs, the various overlays and the pulverizer, the pulverizing programs, and we've adjusted those to reflect the latest sort of industry practice, but it hasn't changed significantly. What's changed is the fact that when we get out on the roads, we fix the base properly before we do the overlay. And we continue to have issues with that as we go road by road across the town. Even this year, we still have resistance from our contractor from time to time that you know, they don't, that's not what they're there to do. And so we're having to ride, you know, be very careful in our supervision this year to make sure we get what we're paying for, which is a good pulverizer, a good overlay. So,
But I'm talking about the product because I think that helped with the base. I could stand to be corrected, but I would think that helped with building the base up and making the base and the material that's in the base together as kind of a lower. Or are we doing that now with a different coat of asphalt in between?
Through Acting Mayor Downey, my manager of engineering says we are still pulverizing as you've described. That's part of our program this year, but it's not the full program. So.
No, but I know that the pulverizing is still happening. It's that they used to put like an emulsion or a tar in that material after they pulverize. So they actually run down the road twice pulverizing it, and then that made 6 inches of material that was hard packed, and then the asphalt went on top of it.
I'm going to get Lucius to answer the question.
For you, Mr. Acting Mayor. Councillor DeBoer, currently the expanded format of rehabbing the roads are still the same way as you prescribed. It's just that our contractors sometimes may utilize different approaches on different roads depending on the condition of the roads. So I'm not sure exactly what road or where you have observed what you last referred to, but essentially the expanded format of road rehab is still standard, is still the same as per normal practice.
Well, I can speak to specific roads, like Castle Dirk Side Road was actually pulverized a number of years ago, and then they put the emulsion on with the tanker that hooks onto the front of the similar machine or the same machine, and then that mixes that all in, and they roll it, and then you end up with a fairly hard base. This year on our own road, on Mount Hope Road, that wasn't happening. It was basically the pulverized, everything was on there. They added a bunch more material, but they never mixed the gravel material, the aggregate, with the emulsion to form a base. Now they're putting are you doing that with a concrete on top of it? Or, like, they're not concrete. Are you doing that with a different layer of asphalt to accomplish the same thing? Because my thinking is that really took the material that was underneath and made it fairly firm, because it was almost like driving on a tar and chip road. And I guess, you know, I always thought that put in a pretty good base to try and put asphalt down on top of.
Before you ask me, because of the board, I think you are mixing up two different kinds of technologies. One is the expanded asphalt, and the other is the pulverization. The expanded asphalt is what you refer to, where they actually mix the expanded foam into the asphalt, which is not what the expanded treatment is currently.
So the expanded asphalt is a different way of building the same kind of road?
Yes.
And is it location dependent then?
Well, it depends on what the road needs. In a case where we pulverize the entire base, you don't add the foam. It's just the material being mixed together, and then you apply two lifts of asphalt.
I think it's important because a lot of our residents do pay attention to what happens, because they, fortunately, like some of us, cover a lot of different roads and see the construction as it happens and different formats and why things are happening one way in one area and why they're happening in another area differently. Mm-hmm. And we can use I entertained an email last night that talked about Castle Dirk Side Road again. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we were doing a patch job, and it's fairly rough, but the people didn't understand that we were going to go over it again later.
Yes. Yeah.
I think we need to understand maybe next winter as part of a project, a handbook, so to say, or some information as to how you come up with a decision on how the roads are actually going to be constructed and how they work, for example, like a process. This is how you're looking at it. I know you're using different technologies now today, totally different way. We're doing things totally different than what we have in the past. And I think it's probably more of an information piece for council, so that we have a better understanding of how we're doing things, so we can entertain and answer questions a lot easier. We could probably save you some work if we understand better as to what's going on. So whether that's something that can happen, because you know every road is different, but people drive up and down different roads, and they've seen we approach things differently over the years, and are questioning why we're doing it a certain way, and we don't necessarily have the answers because we don't have all the pieces. And I think if we're looking at three different technologies, we need to know why we're using one in one location, why we're doing it differently in another spot, how we're trying to accomplish the end goal, and that is to have better roads, longer lasting roads, and then having the problem turn over to the police department and keeping the cars slower.
Thank you, Councillor DeBoer. Good points. Councillor McClure.
Yes, thank you, Acting Mayor Downey. I think Dave's doing a heck of a job, but there's a few things maybe could be improved on. I know when people give contracts out for jobs, you tend to give the lowest, accept the lowest one. And maybe Dave, you should be overseeing that and seeing if they understand what they're bidding on. I know it was a situation at Credit View Road where the road was closed all summer and it shouldn't have been because they didn't know what they're in for. They were new at it. Have you got the right to do something like that, Dave?
Through you, Acting Mayor Downey. Councillor McClure, you're correct. So our system is set up primarily that we set up what I call gates. It's not really the official purchasing, but we make sure that the individuals or the companies that bid for us meet the minimum qualifications that we need for the job, and that can be, you know, years of experience, jobs of those sizes, certifications and qualifications, a number of what I call gates. So we take a look at those at the beginning, our purchasing does, and says, okay, you have that experience, you have these qualifications, you've done these kind of jobs before, you're through the gate. And then at that point, we open the envelopes and we pick the lowest bid. In most cases, the bids are fairly consistent that we receive. They're not exact. Some will be really high, some would be really low. The example you use this year, we had one contractor, for example, in the bridge work that was being, or the culvert work that was being done on Credit View, who was significantly lower than the average. But he'd been through the gates. They had done this kind of work. They had the experience. They had, you know, had the qualifications required. We met with them prior. We confirmed that they understood the specification and the work had to be done. We made sure that they double-checked their numbers. They hadn't made an error. We even gave them the opportunity to say, listen, if you've made a mistake, now's the time to put your hand up and say, you know, mea culpa, I made a mistake. They said they hadn't, and we went forward. Unfortunately, there was a number of issues that we had with that contract. We followed very, very closely with our consultant. As you know, it's open today. There's still some issues there. But in the end, I met with them last week, and the answer we got is, from a technical perspective, the work has been well done, just not on time, not on schedule. And a lot of disruption to the public. So those are lessons that I think as a team we take forward and we make sure that that doesn't happen again to the best of our ability.
Yes, well, you did the best you could, but it there was a headache this summer. And another thing, on Kennedy Road, between Baseline and Boston Mills Road, is that on the books for being done next year?
Through you, Acting Mayor Downey, Councillor McClure, probably the worst major road in the town right now is Kennedy. We are coming forward in our budget submission this year that Kennedy from old base to old school.
Yep.
Is it old school?
Old base to
old school will be done in its entirety. That's what we're proposing. It'll be one of the largest single road projects that we've done in quite some time. So.
I'm glad to hear that. Yes, it's a problem. Thanks.
Councillor Beffert.
Yes, just one more thing, Dave. I think what you're hearing today is that there's some issues that we're hearing that we've got to share with you. And again, our staff have been terrific. But I guess one of the things is that when a job is done, it should look done. And we've got a couple of issues that it doesn't. And I'll give you an example. McCourt from Kennedy to Snowbury. Once the job was done, it wasn't done. And people reacted to that. And your group has made them come back and try and make some repairs. There are still locations where the subsurface is about 2 inches below the surface. And you know, we've got areas there where people go down in with their tires. So I don't know what's happening, but if we can help you in any way with supporting, getting good contractors, I think most of these are people we've used in the past, and they've done a good job. So I don't quite know what's happening or how to respond to my residents when they ask.
Through you, Acting Mayor Downey. So, Councillor Beffert, absolutely valid points. No offense by myself or my staff at all when you bring forward issues that you have to deal with. Your issues are our issues, so we'll work them through. McCourt is a good example of the issues that I spoke of earlier, that we had a process of rehabilitating roads, which was not acceptable, and as a result of that, the results we're getting were not acceptable. Add to that the fact that we had a massive program of $9 million worth of roads, and we didn't have sufficient on-site supervision from a town's perspective, didn't help at all. You know, so we've made a number of changes this year. We had 100% of the roads inspected from last year. We now have a consultant that assists us with inspecting all the current road program that are holding our contractors accountable to the schedule and accountable to the specification, along with our own staff input. I think we've made the changes that are required. Are we going to be perfect? The answer is no, but wherever there's criticisms or corrections or suggestions from you or from the residents, we take those to heart and we'll do our best to fix them.
Thank you, Mr. Leveridge. All in favor? Carried. Moving to RB7, moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor McClure, that report PW2015-079 regarding municipal energy plan funding be received, and that a new 2015 capital project be established for $48,110 for the municipal energy plan funded by the Ministry of Energy's Municipal Energy Plan Program and the Town of Caledon as per Table 1 of Report PW2015-079, and that $15,500 be transferred from the Capital Project 14-046 for Energy and Environment to fund this new initiative. No speakers on the board. All in favor? Any opposed? Carried. RB8, moved by Councillor Groves, seconded by Councillor Mazzapelli, that report PW2015-080 regarding delegated authority for the assumption of municipal infrastructure be received, and that the authority be delegated to the Director of Public Works for the assumption of built municipal infrastructure and the release of associated securities, and that bylaws be brought forward directly to Council for consideration with respect to assumption of municipal infrastructure, and that the Director of Public Works annually provide Council with an update of all assumptions made on behalf of the town. Councillor DeBoer.
I don't have problems with the idea of delegating the authority to do it, but at some point through the review chain of all the process that the councillor of the area, councillors of the area, and the mayor be notified of impending assumption of a subdivision, because sometimes we're aware of issues and deficiencies from residents that for some reason don't make it through, or there's questions with regards to things that have happened. So it doesn't happen very often, but I think we ran into it a little bit with one that we were trying to solve up in the Black Horse and the assumption there, and we had a number of issues, and I think we've got them all resolved working together. So I would hope that that's part of the formal process of reviewing till you get to the assumption part.
Thank you, Councillor DeBoer. Does someone want to speak to that? No question. Okay. All in favor? Carried. Would Council like to take a short break for lunch or carry through? This is the last business to carry through. Okay. Pardon me? It's provided. Thank you. Okay, so. Moved by Councillor McClure, seconded by Councillor Beffert, that the minutes of the following meetings be adopted as written and distributed. Council meeting held September 29, 2015, and Council meeting held September 29, 2015. A closed Council meeting held September 29, 2015. All in favor? Any opposed? Moving to proclamations. Moved by Councillor Befford, seconded by Councillor DeBoer. Whereas years of research confirms the benefits of high-quality childcare for young children's intellectual, emotional, and social and physical development and later life outcomes, and whereas childcare promotes the well-being of children in response to the needs of parents, childcare workers, and broader community by supporting quality of life so that citizens can fully participate and contribute to the economic and social life of their community. Therefore, be it resolved that the Town of Caledon proclaim October 8th, 2015 to be the 14th Annual Child Care and Worker and Early Childhood Educator Appreciation Day in recognition of the education, dedication, and commitment of child care workers to children, their families, and the quality of life in the community in the Town of Caledon. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Mazzapelli, seconded by Councillor Groves. Whereas National Family Week has been observed nationally since 1985, and whereas National Family Week's focus is to provide an opportunity to celebrate families and reflect on their importance in our lives, and whereas the Caledon Parent Child Center has been serving Caledon and the surrounding areas for 28 years, whereas the Caledon Parent Child Center plays an indispensable role in the lives of families and children of Caledon, offering a continuum of services that strengthens families and assists them in the critical role of raising young children. Services support healthy child development, assist with the early identification of developmental concerns, provide referrals to specialized services and community supports, enhance parenting skills, and prepare children for school. Therefore, be it resolved that the Town of Caledon proclaim the week of October 5th to 9th, 2015, to be National Family Week in the Town of Caledon. All in favor? Moved by Councillor Mazzapelli, seconded by Councillor Groves. Whereas the Town of Caledon is committing to reducing our waste, conserving resources, and educating the community about sustainable living, and whereas we recognize the generation of solid waste and the needless waste of resources as global environmental problems, and endeavor to take the lead in our community toward environmental sustainability, therefore be it resolved that the Town of Caledon proclaim the week of October 19th, 2015, to be the Waste Reduction Week in the Town of Caledon. All in favor? Carried. Correspondence? What do we do with that? We'll move into correspondence. Okay. Moved by Councillor Grove, seconded by Councillor Befford, that the correspondence items as listed in the correspondence package for October 6, 2015 council meeting be received. I have Councillor Groves on the board. Go ahead.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Through you to our clerk, I'm not sure how to proceed with this, but I wanted to speak to the added item of correspondence with regards to the letter from Antonio Rosa. I'm not sure if there's direction that needs to be given, because the ask is for an opportunity to share the proposal with members of council and our director of recreation, parks and recreation. So do I need to do that through just give direction, or how do we do that?
Thank you, Councillor Groves. Directing Mayor Downey to Councillor Groves. Currently, our procedural bylaw doesn't require any motion, so you can give me direction to arrange for that delegation.
Oh, okay. So I am giving direction. And just to speak to this, I think this is a great thing. We had an arts advisory council with the previous term of council, who did a tremendous amount of work and put together a great directory. And I think this is a great way to follow up on that, because we no longer have that that advisory council. But this is a great way to do this. And I know that Stage Academy, they continue to go outside and rent space in other theaters outside of the community. So I look forward to that opportunity, and I think that we really need to keep those dollars here in this community. And it also fits well with the mayor's the announcement from the mayor at his levy to talk about having sports and arts and culture all rolled up in one, and fits very well with the visioning exercise that we just did through Parks and Rec. So this is a good news thing.
Thank you, Councillor Groves. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Acting Mayor Downey. I too would support this. Anything that we can do to support staff engaging with the community that want to make our community better, I think we all have an interest in doing that. So I think this is a good thing in developing our community, in this case in the arts. And we know there's lots of needs out there, sports, arts, and others. So engaging with staff, I think, is a good thing. Thanks.
Through you, Acting Mayor Downey. I guess, Director Johnson, is this not one of the eight projects which came forward as part of working on a partnership proposal?
Through you, Acting Mayor Downey. Yes, Mr. Barnes, this is one of eight, and I'm actually up to 10 now, so there you go.
Thank you. All in favor of receiving the correspondence? Carried. We'll move to announcements. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Acting Mayor Downey. Just a few. Tonight is the third public communication, public consultation for the Bolton Heritage Conservation District at Rotary Place in Bolton. So I encourage everybody to come out, however you feel or whatever your particular interests are, come out and learn about the plan. It is at 6:30 tonight. Starts at 7 and runs till 9 at Rotary Place. And again, it's the Bolton Heritage Conservation District community consultation. October 11th, the Bolton Fire Station is hosting a pancake breakfast from 8 a.m. till noon in recognition of Fire Prevention Week. I know that there are events throughout the community. Just wanted to highlight the one breakfast coming up. October 11th, 10:30 till 2 p.m., Fall Fest will be at CCRW, so encourage the public to come out and embrace fall. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Groves.
Sounds like that bird on that commercial. Cheep, cheep. Sorry. I also just wanted to draw your attention to October 25th is the Bolton Rotary's Haunted Hill Run. So I encourage us all to get out there and bring our kids and participate. And anyone that would like to volunteer, they are looking for volunteers. If you know any high school students who need community service hours, please let them know that they can go out and volunteer. It's a fun event. Tom Kitamura from the Bolton Rotary is the contact person, so I'm just putting it out there for anyone who has any kids who might need volunteer hours or want to participate in the run, and maybe the media can put a little plug in also for these volunteers. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Beffert.
Yes, I've got a deal for Councillor Mazzapelli. Before going to his meeting tonight, there's a rainbow trout dinner at the Caledon Lions Club, Caledon Village Place, and it starts at 5, so you'd have time to go there and then get back over to your meeting. So I think that would be terrific. I'll see you there.
Thank you, Councillor Beffert. Urgent business. Any other announcements? No. Okay, we'll move to urgent business. Moved by Councillor Beffert, second by Councillor Groves, that a motion without notice be introduced as urgent business regarding the opposition to the privatization of Hydro One, as it is time sensitive. All in favor? Okay. Carried. Can I read this in full? Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Beffert, whereas the public electricity system in Ontario is a critical asset to the economy and vital to the living standard and well-being of all Ontarians, and whereas it is essential that Ontarians maintain public control and public decision-making with respect to electricity, and whereas experience in other jurisdictions shows that privatization typically means consumers pay more for electricity, and whereas a privatized Hydro One will no longer be subject to scrutiny by the Auditor General, the Ombudsman, the Financial Accountability Officer,
or the Integrity Commissioner and will no longer be required to provide information or services to citizens under the Freedom of Information and Protection of Privacy Act, the Public Sector Salary Disclosure Act, or the French Language Services Act. And whereas the sale of shares in Hydro One will provide a short-term financial gain for the province in exchange for a much larger long-term financial loss. And whereas the provincial government has no mandate from voters to sell any part of Hydro One, therefore be it resolved that the Town of Caledon call on the provincial government to halt the sale of any part of Hydro One and maintain Hydro One as a public asset for the benefit of all Ontarians and to respect the autonomy and local decision-making powers of local distribution companies by not forcing these companies into mergers or sales. And that this resolution be distributed to the Premier, the Minister of Finance, the Minister of Energy, area MPPs, and the Association of Municipalities of Ontario. Okay, Councillor Innes.
Thank you, through you, Acting Mayor, and thank you to Councillor DeBoer for bringing this forward. I would like to second it, if he doesn't already have a seconder. Oh, he does. Okay. I would like to add that I think that it should be sent to the Region of Peel as well as all, I know it says area MPPs, we only have one MPP that covers the Town of Caledon, but I think that it should be all MPPs that cover the Region of Peel. So if that, I don't know if that has to be just a friendly amendment. No, there's nothing friendly. But I'm fully in support of that. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Acting Mayor Downey. Just wondering if I could ask the question why this is time sensitive.
Councillor DeBoer, if you'd like to speak to that.
Well, a number of municipalities have, over the course of the last month, been supporting or doing a similar type motion, and we're kind of toward the end of it. The provinces continue to move forward on it, but I think we just have to add our voice. It's fairly self-explanatory. It's not that it's anything that we wouldn't already understand as to what's going on. So that was why we wanted to try and deal with it here today. The clerk did have it on Friday, so it could be added with the agenda early enough.
Okay, and I will state, I'm not stating whether I support or do not support this. What I am stating is that I don't know all the facts to make to state my position, and I take very strongly my ability to have that information before I take a position, and these claims, I don't know whether they are valid or invalid. So I always like having information in front of me where I can mull it over and come up with my opinion, and I haven't been afforded that ability. So for that reason, and I'm not saying this isn't correct, I just don't know that it is. That I can't support it until I know the facts. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I would like to thank Councillor DeBoer for bringing this forward. I know that when we were at AMO, the Premier, when she was giving her speech, she touched on the sale of Hydro One, and I can tell you that no municipality in that room supported the sale of Hydro One. They made it extremely clear to the province that they are not in favor of doing this. Obviously, she wasn't listening because they're still moving ahead with the sale. And I'll tell you, a good example for privatization, take a look at the 407. Your fees skyrocket. There's no controls on it. And certainly, this is a concern for a number of residents because we continue to see increases. We've been paying off the debt retirement fund. If you look at your hydro bill, I think that's fun. I think that's been paid off a while ago, but we still pay into it. So while the sale of hydro, and I think what she talked about was the fact that this will cover a lot of infrastructure needs. This sale will cover that. Once the money is gone, it's gone, and you're still left with a lot of shortfalls. So I'm in full support of this, and I, like I said, I will tell you, no one in that room from any of the municipalities, all 44 municipalities, were not in favor of this. And I know that AMO is lobbying, or AMO is taking this challenge on and is making it very clear to the province there is no support. So I'm in full support.
Thank you. Councillor Beffert?
There are a number of reasons to support this, but mine has never varied, and that is with respect to seniors. The overwhelming number of our seniors' homes have electric heat, and our seniors are very vulnerable. And if this goes through and they are at the mercy of a private corporation to raise fees, I have a real concern about what it's going to do to many, many seniors in our province. So I certainly support it.
Seeing no other speakers on the board, I'll call the question. All in favor? Carried. Move on to notice of motion. I'm going to remove myself.
Okay, so the next item on the agenda is the motion by Councillor Downey with regards to the tourism. And Councillor Downey, you're on the board.
Thank you. With regards to the notice of motion, I'd like to withdraw it at this time.
Okay, thank you. That was quick.
Not enough time for you. Any other notices of motion being presented today? No, there's none on the board. Council inquiry? Councillor Groves?
Thank you, Acting Mayor Downey. I'm not sure if it's an inquiry, but through you to Ms. Johnston, with regards to the Arts Advisory Committee that we had, I received a number of inquiries from them as to where we are and what's happening, because they still have an interest in what is happening and how we're moving forward with this. And I just wondered if we've ever sent a letter out to any of those members, or if we could send a letter out to those members, really just to even thank them for the work that they did over the last term of council, and just to give them an update as to where we are with the arts, because they seem to think that it's just sort of fallen by the wayside.
Through you, Acting Mayor Downey. Thank you, Councillor, for the question. With the results of the visioning and the renewed focus on arts and culture, I'm pretty excited that we will have an opportunity to reconnect with those folks that worked on that committee. We will be bringing forward in the 2016 budget some conversations around how we resource arts and culture, because it is a new business unit for Parks and Recreation. So I think that there's great opportunities to continue on with volunteers and to see how we can sort of elevate the presence of what the town can do to promote arts and culture.
Right, that would be great. And we probably don't need to send it to all of the members, but to the chair, which was Tina, to herself and maybe the vice chair, just and they can pass that on to the other folks who were involved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Groves. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. Inquiries to Public Works. And with the agenda today, we had the bylaw, bylaw for the street names, I think it was, or the naming of the streets and the stop signs. But also part of that bylaw is the speed limits. And I know we were working on reviewing a lot of our roads in Caledon for maximum speed limits. And I noticed on here we still have a number of our rural gravel roads that are still on here posted 80. Where are we with that review, and are we going to see a bylaw soon looking at the speed limits?
That's through you, Acting Mayor Downey. Councillor DeBoer, the speed limit review, we had the public meeting back in the summertime. We had the report submitted a draft report submitted to us by our consultant. We've gone back to them with a number of recommended changes to the speed limit review or questions as to how they got there or the methodology. They're finalizing the report now. Our intent is to bring a report to council either the first, well, in one of the two councils in November.
Thank you, Mr. Leverage. Seeing no other inquiries on the board. Oh, sorry, Councillor Beffert, go ahead.
Sorry, I thought you were just going to go down the line. My inquiry is to finance along with Heritage. We know that the Kerlog House has been sold, and we've retrieved, I would think, some money from that. The Caledon Heritage Foundation has received a small amount of money back on that sale, but they did a tremendous amount of work for what we had to do to end up selling it. And I'm wondering if we could take a look at the fact that some of the money that they worked from was from a grant from Trillium. I think they should get part of that back for the work that they did. So I'm wondering if you could look at that whole issue along with Heritage and see if there's a way that we can provide some more funding back to that group based on the sale of the Kerlog home. Sally will know.
Through you, Acting Mayor Downey, if I may interject here, something of that proportion I would recommend. We'd have to check for the motion, but perhaps you may want to work on a notice of motion for that.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll move into public question period. Are there any members of the public that have questions? Please make your way to the podium.
Good afternoon, Mayor and members of Council. Randy McLeod, President of Peel Federation of Agriculture. I'd like to take this time to commend Council for adopting Mr. Kyle Monroe's report that there be agricultural representation, recommending that agricultural representation be added to the boards of conservation authorities. Through this review, the report that was written by Mr. Monroe will be now, since you've now passed it, will be circulated through the Ontario Federation of Agriculture to other counties to encourage them to also adopt this policy. I've heard many times that here in Peel, especially in the agricultural front, we are at the leading edge of a lot of the issues facing agriculture throughout the province. And even though we're small in numbers, we are at the front of the battle, so to speak, as we plod on. So it is very gratifying as the outgoing president of Peel Federation of Agriculture to see this pass. This idea was conceived at Peel, and it happened during my tenure as president, and my tenure as president ends tomorrow evening. So it's always gratifying to know that I did accomplish something in my term. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. McLeod. Moving on to bylaws. Oh, again, a mover and seconder for a bylaw in regards to the renaming of Ellis Street. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor DeBoer, that the following bylaws be read at first, second, and third time, and finally passed. Bylaw 2015-077, to rename Ellis Street on plan 43R-14772. Bylaw 2015-078, to amend bylaw 2015-058, being a bylaw to regulate the use of highways and parking on highways, and to repeal certain bylaws. Bylaw 2015-079, to expropriate certain lands by the Corporation of the Town of Caledon, being those lands described in Appendix A hereto for the road reconstruction and continuation of Simpson Road to the Town of Caledon, Regional Municipality of Peel. Bylaw 2015-080, to exempt lots 34, 35, 42 to 44, 56 to 65, 86 to 88, 324 to 329, 335, and 336 on plan 43M-1961 from part lot control provisions of the Planning Act.
bylaw 2015-081 to confirm the proceedings for the council for the corporation of the town of Caledon at its council meeting held on the 6th day of October 2015. All in favor? So moved. And a motion to adjourn. Councillor Beffert, seconded by Councillor DeBoer. Thank you.